Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Z Hour, an interactive talk show celebrating the written word. Presented by the Zahme Publishing Press, www.zahme.com. That's ZHARMAE.com.
Hello, Internet. This is Tom Julian bringing you tonight's Radio Z, the radio show of the Zahme Publishing Press, hosted on Blog Talk Radio. You can like us on Facebook.com/TZPPRadioZ. And you can also check out first chapters of all your favorite Zahme books by visiting firstreadsfirst.com. That's first, reads with a Z, first.com. You'll find all your favorite books with striking covers and get to read the first two or three chapters of all those books with no clutter and no ads. And links for purchase if you like what you see. But I'm assuming you're simply going to like what you see, and there's no reason to even doubt that. So I would go to firstreadsfirst.com with my credit card out just hovering, because every Zahme book I've ever read has been just a roller coaster ride of fun and insanity, craziness and awesomitude, including my own book, Timberwolf. And it's just a great ride. So what you can expect from Zahme is usually spaceships, zombies, attack of ghosts, young adult novels, Vikings going nuts, military adventures, and all kinds of other fun stuff that I am sure, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure it's up your alley. So tonight on Radio Z, we've got a couple of really, really cool guests. We've got Tempest Saunders, author of Mystic Academy. She's going to be joining us in just 2 minutes. I see her on deck. And we have Gudrod Hansen, author of Angry Shadows Rising. I think we're going to get a lot of fun, cool facts and neat stories out of those two. And tonight's topic is the holiday Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. We're going to be talking about the Day of the Dead with those two authors. Day of the Dead is a Mexican holiday celebrated to remember one's ancestors. It's kind of got a it's sort of a family-friendly Halloween, in a way. But what we're going to do now is bring on my good friend Tempest, who's been patiently waiting for the last 1 minute and 47 seconds. And if we can get a big round of applause over the internet for Tempest Saunders, author of Mystic Academy. Hey. Hi, Tempest, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Tempest, what's going down?
Nothing much, having a quiet day at home today.
There's no such thing as a quiet day when you're on the Tom Show. We get crazy and wild here, sort of. Anyway, I'm eating Halloween candy. So, you know, that's about as wild as I get. Today I busted out my leaf blower, and now I'm pilfering Halloween candy from my kids. So, yeah, I'm living the high life. I'm living the high life here.
No, earlier I busted out the comic books that I went and bought yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. What did you buy?
Oh, I bought like 59 comics yesterday. I went nuts. I bought a lot of Hawkeye comics, some Iron Fist, Doctor Strange, like old-time comics.
Cool.
So,
some old-time comics from before everyone was into comics, and it was like, you know, not just think something everybody does, but back in the day when you were hardcore.
Yeah, I used to read comics at the candy store downstairs from where I used to live when I was a kid, and I used to love it, and then I stopped doing it, but now it's just like, I miss it, so it's like, need more comics.
Need more comics.
I have a Marvel subscription. I have a Marvel subscription. I have an app that I have access to over 17,000 comics, and then I just went out and bought, like, all these comics. I'm happy.
That is great. That is a wonderful thing. I have to get more into comics. I've downloaded a couple apps, and I've been reading through a couple of what was that one about the mouse Nazis? Oh God. Anyway, I'm not a huge comic guy as far as is actually the physical books. More like, you know, the films and things like that, and books about, like, you know, cover to cover books about unillustrated books about people with superpowers. Hey, so you know what we're talking about today?
The Day of the Dead.
The Day of the Dead. I got some firsthand knowledge. My friend Tito in Mexico City was telling me all about the Day of the Dead. And we're going to talk about the Day of the Dead today. But before we get into the Day of the Dead, I've heard a rumor that you have written a book or a series of books. But your latest book that is out is called Mystic Academy.
Yes, it is.
And
the Mystic Academy book one is Awakened.
Nice. Can you tell us briefly about Mystic Academy?
It is about a girl from Long Island who gets accepted into a boarding school that she never applied to, but she feels drawn to go there, so she works really hard. She convinces her parents to let her go, and while she's there, she finds out it's a school for the supernatural. And soon after she gets there, the supernatural world falls into war. So as she's learning her place in the supernatural world, everything's falling apart in the supernatural world, and she needs to figure out what it is. She gets there, the supernatural world falls into war. Where's her place, and how does she fit into that war?
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And you're planning a series of this?
Yeah, I've already gotten a couple of books written. I just need to tweak books two, which I have the final edit from, you know, our good editors at Jarmay. I'm editing book three, and then I have at least one or two others that I'm working with.
That's cool. That's cool. So you have a long-term vision for the story. What's the name of your main character again?
Aurora. Sure,
like,
for Aurora.
Like a lion. Aurora. Oh, cool. Cool, that's a cool name. So Halloween, I assume, was pretty rockin' in where you're in New York City, correct?
Yeah, I am. Born and raised in New York.
Oh, nice. And did you partake in any parties or dressing up into finery of any kind?
Friday night I dressed up as Black Widow. Saturday I dressed up as in an Iron Man dress. I did a Halloween comic fest, which is how I wound up buying over 50 comics.
Nice.
But Halloween is also my wedding anniversary, so my wife and I went out, and we just had a good time. We went out to eat. We went to the comic fest. She dressed up as Black Widow yesterday. We just had a good time.
Oh, there you go. Well, that sounds fun. That sounds like a blast. I love Halloween in New York City, and Day of the Dead in New York City as well. I used to live in Brooklyn. In my last couple of years there was this whole longish weekend that sort of stretched from, Halloween and into Day of the Dead and all kinds of neat celebrations going on and all that. So what I like about the Day of the Dead holiday is it's kind of focused on ancestors. I did some research on what it's all about. And, You know, it's really kind of a it's kind of got some macabre elements to it, but if you think about it for a second, it's a really cool, nice, almost like bittersweet holiday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. If you think about it, you know, you celebrate those people who have passed away, and you bring them things to remember them at their grave, and maybe have a drink and have a laugh while you're there, and then, you know, just sort of remember what, you know, your uncle was about, or remember what your grandfather was about and what he enjoyed, and all kinds of stuff, and you bring them some, you know, some sugar. I think the some of the things, you know, traditional things you could bring are like sugary skulls and stuff, and just kind of have a nice time. It's a very interesting holiday. Did you notice anybody getting ready for that in the city?
No, I didn't notice any of that yesterday, but I wasn't really looking for it. But I know what you're talking about, because I grew up in a very Hispanic area of Brooklyn, so I've seen it before.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Sunset Park, Brooklyn. It's highly Hispanic, so the celebrations, it was always very family-oriented and things like that. It's just right up their alley.
Yeah. Do you speak Spanish at all?
Oh, my Spanish is very limited. My father didn't want me knowing Spanish growing up.
Oh, okay. All right. What else is interesting about this holiday is the history of it. It was kind of adapted from Mesoamerican traditions, and was not celebrated in most of Mexico until about 100 years ago, which I was very surprised of. Because I thought it was a long-term, maybe a holiday that was imported from Spain. But turns out, not the case, because the holiday was actually adapted from Mesoamerican beliefs. And in northern Mexico, there were very few people that actually celebrated the holiday. And it was used by the Mexican government as a unifying thing to coordinate with Catholic beliefs of All Saints Day, and it was used to unify the country under, you know, one celebratory event that was very important to the people. The original Day of the Dead was, I believe, at the end of the summer, and then the Mexican government moved it to be along with All Saints Day. So I was kind of surprised. It's, you know, like most holidays, it's gathered different belief systems into it and adapted and has been in flux, you know, over the years, which was interesting to me. I enjoy looking at different historical things, and this was a fun one to look into. But yeah, it's kind of a neat holiday.
Yeah, it is. It's very similar in some ways to Samhain, which is a pagan tradition, where they also honor their ancestors on Halloween, actually.
Oh. You said Samhain?
Yeah, it's a Celtic tradition.
You know, I've heard of it, but I don't think I've understood what exactly it was. And you say it's a Celtic, an ancient Celtic tradition.
Yeah, it's similar to the Day of the Dead. It's also the pagan New Year, but during the celebrations, the celebrants will honor their ancestors and those they've loved and lost, wishing them well on their journey into the afterlife.
Wow. You know, it's funny. It doesn't seem like things have, it seems like the same sorts of holidays have been celebrated from the beginning of time, almost. Like, that sounds almost like an Egyptian pharaoh type journey to me. You know, when they would put the pharaoh into the tomb and give him all kinds of stuff to accompany his journey, sometimes actually slaves that were thrown in there with him. But it's kind of amazing. It's like a, you know, it's a universal thing, it seems to be. That, you know, you're talking about a Celtic tradition, and a Mexican tradition, and just other traditions as well that kind of carry, you know, to give someone comfortable passage into the afterlife. It seems to be common.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very interesting.
It's a very interesting thing that no matter what culture you come from, you can find some kind of ritual or rite where it's not so much about comforting the living so much as comforting the dead as they move on.
Yeah. Yeah, and a side effect of that is to comfort the living. I think, like, on Facebook, you have that all the time. Like, people will, you know, post memories of ones that have passed on, you know, would have been my, you know, relative's 75th birthday or something like that, or somebody wins the pennant, you know, somebody who passed away loved the Mets or something, they would have loved to have seen what's going on now. It's kind of bridges the gap between here and the dead. I think people always like to think of the soul and the person as being something that lives on, whether it's in their memories or in the next life.
Absolutely.
Hey, do you know that I met you last year on my birthday?
I didn't know it was your birthday.
That was my birthday when we had that sort of like, it was like a gathering of like, you know, in the East Village in the city in that dive bar where it was like, you know, four beers and a shot for $6 or something like that. And it felt like we were a bunch of communists just hanging out together in this back room, all these, like, you know, all these writers, all these, like, you know, people out with their notebooks and stuff. And we're just chilling. That you met me on my birthday last year.
That was actually a lot of fun. And I had no idea it was your birthday.
It was my birthday. I got default free drinks on my birthday. But that was such a cool, it was such a cool night we all had there. It was a bunch of Zarmé authors. James Crew, one of the editors, was hosting us and took us to a fun place. I was wondering, you know, I thought somebody might get stabbed there. It was kind of a rough crowd. But I'm glad nobody got stabbed.
It was a fun night. I had a really fun night. I was glad I decided to go. I had just gotten over being sick for weeks.
I remember you said that. And I don't want to be insensitive, but I assume no one got stabbed. That was just my takeaway. But after I left, no one got stabbed, right?
Not that I know of. I'm pretty sure
everyone
made it home safe.
All right, cool. Yeah, I think I would have heard, like, you know, that... Because the Zarmé people just, like, send out that blast email to everybody for every little thing. You know, I lost my pencil.
Yeah.
You know, all Zarmé. So I probably would have heard. James Cruz stabbed me on the way out the door. But that would have probably gotten around to the all Zarmé list and published to the fantastic Zarmé Facebook group, as well as the
Absolutely.
Wonderful Zarmé Twitter feed. If someone
Absolutely.
Was stabbed.
Absolutely.
So we're hanging out here, everybody, if you're interested in calling in to talk to Tempest Saunders and myself. And soon we're gonna hear from Gudrod Hansen, author of Angry Shadows Rising. He'll be dialing in any minute. If you'd like to talk to us, the number is 347-996-3900. That's 347-996-3900. And if you call within the next 5 minutes, you'll win a Zarmé keychain, which is theoretical. But call anyway. So, Tempest, about our holiday that we're discussing, the Day of the Dead. You know, I was trying to think of people that were in my life that I missed, that have passed on today. And I had kind of a reflective moment of sorts, one or two of those. And, you know, I started to think about my Uncle Artie that I don't really you know, I didn't see much of him in the last part of his life. He was living in Florida, but he'd always kind of been there for us. And when he passed away, it kind of, you know, brought it home that people are, you know, sort of transient in this physical world. And, you know, you should keep an eye on them and stay in touch with them as much as you can. But how about you? Do you have anybody that comes to mind as you reflect on our Day of the Dead holiday?
Well, actually, I was thinking about that earlier today myself, and I was thinking about my mother's parents and my cousin Sean. My mom's parents this year makes 23 years since they've been gone. Actually, later this month will be exactly 23 years since my grandfather was gone, but I was always very close to my mom's parents when I was a little girl. And I was really young. I was 9 and 10 when they passed on, so it was really hard to lose them. But they always lit up when their grandkids came into the house, and it was always fun. And I remember how they used to tell their grandkids to all go play in traffic, except one of my brothers. They'd be like, except you, you'll actually get hit by a car while you do that. So you stay on the sidewalk. So, you know, there was that. And then there was my cousin Sean, 2 weeks ago, made 5 years since we lost him. It was a military training accident. Oh. And he was younger than me. So that was really hard. And
yeah,
it just made me realize, like, the last time I spoke to him, we were joking around, arguing over something stupid. And then he was supposed to go away for a 2-week training seminar, and he just never came home.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So it's
I'm
like
very sorry to hear that.
A reminder of how fleeting life can be. Like, the person's there one day and just gone the next, young, old. It doesn't matter. You know, you need to really appreciate the time you have with the people you love.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a sort of that what you just said is it sort of doesn't it doesn't matter because, you know, the fates or destiny or whatnot, or God doesn't really, you know, he's not paying attention to the fact that you're expecting somebody to come home. It's a, they got their name in a book somewhere. It almost feels like, and it's when that time comes, it comes. So yeah, it's that's kind of the bittersweet nature of the holiday, is that you remember those things and you're sorry for the loss, but you also sort of, you know, love the person and you love what they were about, and you bring all that together, and what you have is a sort of mixed bag of bitter and sweet, where you are, you know, thinking about the person and thinking about, you know, how much you miss them, but also how much you love them and how much fun you had with them. So there we are. So our friend Gudrod will be joining us in just a moment. So why don't we talk a little bit more about your writing as an author, and talk about where did the idea for Mystic Academy come from in your mind, and where you think it's going?
Actually, after Sean died 5 years ago, I stopped being able to write at all, and it was about 8 months after he died, the idea just came to me. I started having ideas about a girl from Long Island going to a boarding school in Massachusetts and it turning out to be a school for the supernatural. And when I finally sat down and started writing it, I wrote the majority of Awakened in a week. It was about eight days that I wrote the majority of Awakened. I've tweaked it since then, but I wrote the majority of that in 8 days, and it was the first time I had actually been able to finish a project or write more than 3 pages since I had lost Sean.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cathartic because I thought I'd never be able to write again.
Right. Wow,
but as far as
extremely powerful.
Yeah, I kind of really shattered when I lost him because he was younger than me, and my family was close to, you know, him and his siblings, so it was a complicated situation growing up. And, you know, even when he was overseas, he was in the Coast Guard, I'd end up Facebook chatting with him in the middle of the night, finding out, like, randomly going on Facebook and finding out that he's online because he can't sleep. You know, all of a sudden I get an urge to go online, and he's on Facebook because he can't sleep. He's in Iraq and can't sleep, and all of a sudden it's, like, 3 in the morning, and it's like, go on Facebook. Sean can't sleep.
Huh, and you just kind of felt that.
So when I lost him, it was just like, it was too much to process at the time. It's been slow. So when I started writing the Mystic Academy, it was cathartic because I was finally able to get my creative juices flowing again. I had lost them for a while. But as far as where the book is going, in book one, Rora is kind of lost. She doesn't know what she's doing. She just knows she's in the middle of a war zone. And as the series goes on, she gets stronger with her power, with what she needs to do. She understands, like, the greater good versus what she wants for herself. So it's kind of, you know, greater good versus being selfish.
So what are the main factions in your book? In Mystic Academy, I assume it's a good versus evil.
Absolutely,
thing.
There are the main good guys. They're the people who are at the school and the people who will side with the people from the school, and then the bad guys. I actually use the Egyptian god of chaos, Apep, as the big bad in the series.
Oh, that's interesting. The Egyptian god of chaos.
I mean, there are demons brought in. Yeah, there are demons brought in here and there, and, you know, but ultimately, because there are gods, demons, vampires, a lot of different things in the Mystic Academy.
Oh, that's cool. So there's demons, so it's a sort of a panoply of different types of beings that are in the Mystic Academy. So she's sitting next to, you know, an elf or a demon or something like that. They're in class together.
One of her friends was a fire sprite in the first book. Another was a vampire.
Oh, that's cool.
She becomes friends with a slayer. She has lycanthropes for friends. So, yeah.
Oh, that's neat. So do you have conflicts in there that are sort of natural that need to be overcome?
Some. For example, one of the characters is based on the Greek goddess Artemis. So, you know, she is a maiden goddess. She's very much about the female. She's not so much kind to men. So her character is friends with the main character, and the male characters that are around, they don't always fare so well around Artemis. Artemis is like, yeah, you need to get away. She trips them up with Greek spells, things of that nature.
I got it. Oh, that's cool. So, yeah. So I would assume if you throw all those people together, and not only is it good versus evil, but it's like, you know, the nature of those creatures against what they believe and what's inherent to them, you know, they have to kind of get over that. I think the book is a lot, you know, I think it's natural. You're saying stuff like people just need to get over themselves to some degree and work together and be on the same team, which is very cool stuff.
Essentially, it's get over yourselves and your petty arguments or we're all going to get destroyed.
That's awesome, and that's a thing to say about you know, our world too. It's, you know, that's a way to live. Get to, you know, if we don't get on the same team, we're gonna get beat up.
Yep.
beat up. So that sounds like a neat book. When's your sequel coming out?
I'm finishing the edits on the second book now. I have the PDF for the final copy with me now. I have to have it in this week. So hopefully by the end of this month, maybe January.
Yeah,
we'll see
that's
how
wonderful.
Things go with them.
That is wonderful. Have you had any input on the cover yet?
Not yet. That's one of the main things that's actually been holding it up, because I've had most of the edits in since June.
Yeah.
So then I need to see cover art.
Yeah, cover art is amazing. You know, I hate to think that people sometimes judge a book by its cover. But the minute I saw my cover, I was like, oh my God, I hope people judge a book by its cover. Because, you know, the covers... If it knocks your socks off, it's like, ah, you know what? I'm good. People are going to love this. People can judge it by its cover. That's cool. That's good.
It's
the cover
thing that touches your eye.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have, you know, poured a whole box of books out on the floor and, like, rolled around on them. You know, when you have that physical book and it's a gorgeous cover and it's just a sexy thing in your hand, it's like, I love it. So... Yeah, that is such a thrill. Tell me about your first book.
I just did tell you about my first book.
I'm sorry. Got it. I'm sorry. I thought I got mixed up with your, because you said you had a series of books. I apologize.
If you want to know a little bit about book two, I can let you know a little bit about that.
Yeah, let me know a little bit about book two here.
So a little bit about book two. Rora is essentially getting over the events of what happened in book one, and things are just getting crazier and crazier, but her powers are getting stronger. She came into her full powers, so she knows what she's doing with her powers. But there's a twist. She finds that she has more power than she thought she would. So the power she already has, she has full control of. She can, you know, use them without flaw. And her fighting skills are down to a science. So people look to her at the school in certain respects to help rebuild, put up spells, things like that.
Oh, cool.
But
so she's becoming...
She's becoming one of the stronger warriors, in a way. But...
Oh, that's nice.
One of the teachers still wants to protect her. And chaos kind of gets a foothold in the school. So attacks start happening within the school. One of them comes from a teacher. A group of students starts, and the war essentially, it becomes a civil war within the school of sorts.
Oh, that's neat. That's cool
yeah.
stuff. My kids are, like, obsessed with Harry Potter and want to live in a magic school. So I think I might steer my daughter towards your book at some point, because she's almost through the Harry Potters. So it seems like a natural thing to pick up this book and try it out. But yeah, so, hey, let me ask you a question about Day of the Dead. Did you see that film that came out last year, The Book of Life?
No, I didn't. I actually don't go to that many movies.
Oh.
I'm more about reading, wrestling, or, you know, music, or going to the museum.
Oh, okay.
The museum in Manhattan.
Yeah. Well, Book of Life was a film about the Day of the Dead. It was an animated film, which actually was really surprising to me. I didn't think they'd be able to pull off like a Pixar type movie about such a subject, but they actually did, and it was a really cool, fun family movie. I took my Took my little ones too, and they really liked it. It turns into a journey. It's absolutely a gorgeous film, and it goes on the hero goes on a journey through the underworld to rescue his love and bring her back because it wasn't her time, and you know there was some treachery involved, and somebody wrote him down in the book of life before he was supposed to go, and it was just a cool film. Very visual.
Awesome.
So you you mentioned something I know is huge in Mexico and huge south of the border in America. You love wrestling.
Yes.
You are a big, giant fan of wrestling. Tell me about who your favorite wrestlers are and what makes them so awesome to you.
Oh, well, this one kind of fits with the Day of the Dead theme. My favorite wrestler growing up was The Undertaker.
Oh, my gosh. I remember The Undertaker.
Most little kids
I remember
like Hulk
him.
Hogan. I was an Undertaker fan from the time I was a little kid. You know, my whole thing was, you know, just tombstone that dude out the ring, get him out. You know, put him in the casket,
yep.
Get him gone.
I remember my era was the Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, who, God, I could watch documentaries about Andre the Giant all day long. He's just like the most interesting, he's just a weird life. He's such a neat guy.
I've actually met Superfly Snuka. I met him a couple months ago in New Jersey at one of the independent promotions I go to.
Oh, cool.
So I've met him. I've met Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, both very nice men.
I bet.
I also met, like, Bret Hart.
The Hitman?
Yeah, I met Bret the Hitman Hart.
Nice.
I got to meet Roddy Piper earlier this year before he passed.
Oh. He was a hero of mine. He made a movie called, I think it was called, what was it called, They Live or something? Where it was like alien zombies, and he's like running around, and he's the only person that can see him, and everything's crazy. He's like goes into a bank with a shotgun and blows people away. It's this crazy movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you and I are yin and yang. I love films and... We would kind of have like a Venn diagram more thing, not a yin and yang. I like films and museums, and you like books and museums. So we meet in museum land. Yeah, but I like books, I guess because I like books. I have written one. But I read, I'm surprised myself that I don't get to read as much as I'd like to. But I think it has something to do with trying to like, you know, write a book and then push a book and all that stuff together. I'm just like, I'm having a hard time investing myself in other books. Have you had anything like that as a writer, or are you just plowing away on reading all kinds of crazy stuff?
Actually, I have slowed down on the number of books I'm reading. I've been buying books that I want to get around to reading, but I haven't had time to read them because I'm editing mine and trying to push mine. So, yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat.
Yeah. It's a weird thing, you know. That an author doesn't get to read as much. And I wish I did get to read more and all that. There's a bunch of alternate history books I want to read. I want to dive into the Zormay catalog a bit more. God, I talk to authors all day long and I haven't, you know, read as many books as I'd like. I want to read, Stephanie Eve's book and, you know, go through that. And I want to read my friend Tito's book. And it's just like, oh my God. You know, I can't get to it, and I work and all this. I'm moaning and crying like Woody Allen. Anyway, so...
Stephanie's book is absolutely fantastic. I will tell you that much.
Stephanie?
S.L. Eve's book? Yes.
Yep.
S.L. Eve's book is wonderful. I actually did want to... I proofread her book before they released it last year. I loved it so much, I bought it as soon as it was released.
Yeah, I gotta get that.
The next, And then last November, I was actually going to see Tommy Dreamer in Philadelphia. She was doing a signing nearby. I went and bought it and got it signed by her.
Oh, man. I'm going. She actually was kind enough to hook me up with a bookstore in Trenton where I'm going to do a signing next weekend. So she's like, you know, definitely at the top of my list as far as, you know, Zarme buddies that I owe a solid to. But I think it would be doing me a solid for me to read her book because that book I hear is amazing.
It is. It really is. I really enjoyed her book. It was one of the first books that I read from another Zarme author. Christopher Dorsey.
Yep.
Dorsey's book, Gateway.
Yep, I've read that
also,
one.
Also
that was a good
another
one.
Also another
excellent.
Amazing book.
Excellent book. Excellent book. So. We are it's you and I. Thank you for hanging in with me. So I know I said it would be a 15-minute interview, but here we are like 40 minutes later. Thanks for hanging in with me. I appreciate it, Tempest. I appreciate it.
No problem.
So what's when you go into the museum, what do you where do you dive into? What do you go for?
I go right to ancient Greece.
Yeah.
And then I usually end up in ancient Egypt. Those are the
really?
Places I spend the most time in. Yeah.
And those influence your work, I see.
I actually like to look into all different cultures. I have some Norse gods in my stories as well, Celtic gods. So you never know what's going to pop up in my stories. But the Greeks and the Egyptians, those were the first that I started learning about. So I always go there. And I actually took a history of ancient Greece class in college. So it just made me all the more interested.
That's good stuff. And what is it about those cultures? What is it about Greece that attracts you to it?
Like, ancient Greece, everything was so different. You had the city-states, and you had city-states like Sparta where everything was, it was a military, like, structure. Everything was so strict. And then you had places like Athens where it was a little bit more relaxed. They worshiped the gods, but, you know, while they were smart about how they handled things, things were relaxed. And, you know, you lived your life, you did what you had to do, you contributed to, you know, the city-state, and life went on. It wasn't all war, but it was also the birthplace of democracy and, you know, just seeing the evolution of everything. And ancient Greece and ancient Egypt are actually interconnected because they were trade partners even before Greece was overtaken and then Egypt. So I just find it interesting.
I mean, their city-states could have like a whole different, be like a whole different world or a whole different country just, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles away. And that
exactly.
Bringing together those city-states, you know, to hold off the Persians or hold off the Macedonians or whoever, you know, that was something that was really bringing them together. I've always loved history, and I can't, you know, I remember the History Channel before it became the Aliens Channel, before it was the Hitler Channel. The History Channel used to have like amazing documentaries on you know, ancient Greece and you know, ancient Egypt, and they were just so amazing and scholarly and just interesting to watch. But I can't stand the History Channel nowadays. I don't even watch it anymore. It's always just like,
yeah, I remember,
you know, supernatural
those.
Ghost hunter crap.
Yeah, I remember a lot of those really good documentaries. You can find a lot of them up on Netflix, actually.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
If you look for them.
Yeah. I saw like a timeline that somebody put together. It was like History Channel, like 1991 to 1998 was like all this really cool stuff, like Napoleon, ancient Greece, blah, blah, blah. Then it was nothing but Hitler for like 4 years, and now it's like aliens and ghost hunters and stuff like that. It was just cracking me up. I was like, you know, this isn't history. This is stuff that the Zarme folks write, the authors would write. This isn't like stuff on the History Channel. It belongs on the Zarme website. You know?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Those like ghost hunter shows, I watch those just for a good laugh because
some
of those people are just, they just look so stupid.
Yeah, the ghost hunter shows. I hate to say that modern technology has taken some of the mystery and wonder out of phenomena that you kind of, you know, you could never prove or disprove, like alien abductions or ghosts or anything like that. Like literally every street corner in every house has a video camera going all the time, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, I still want to believe. I'm still so molder in my, you know, beliefs that I want to, you know, I want the aliens to be real and I want the ghosts to be real. But I'm like, is it, you know, there's a webcam all the time on everything and no one's ever captured a ghost or somebody floating by being abducted by aliens. You know, the constant surveillance we're under has kind of demystified a little bit of the fantasy of that. So that's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. Because it was just better to have some mystery in life.
Yeah. It was nice to know, like, you know, I'm probably not going to be abducted tonight, but I can sit here and think maybe I'll be abducted. But now I'm just going to assume that I'm not going to be abducted because my webcam, you know, is going to capture it if it happens, and then my security system's going to go off, and then my, you know, Twitter feed's going to get hit because I've automatically set my security system to Twitter feed, and if I'm ever abducted, it's going to send out a tweet. You know, it's... anyway. Life sucks.
It's ridiculous.
Life sucks. The X-Files is coming back, which is a good thing. The X-Files is, in fact, coming back, and all will be right in the world. So we are getting into our... We got about 10 minutes left. We are talking to Tempest Saunders, and our topic tonight is Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, the Mexican holiday celebrating the departed ancestors and friends and family who have moved on to the next life. If you have any stories or anything to say about our topic, please call us at 347-996-3900 and tell us your stories and your remembrances of the Day of the Dead. I love this holiday. You know what? Next year, I am going to think about it a lot earlier and maybe sit down with my kids and talk about some of the ancestors that have passed away. I might adopt this holiday.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
I sit down and I talk with my wife about like relatives of mine that meant a lot to me, especially Halloween, Day of the Dead. I talk about things that I remember about them with her, and she'll bring up stories about some of her loved ones. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a neat thing. Family really does mean everything when you stop and think about it, whether they're the family that you're born with or the family that you collect along the way. Good friend of mine, a reverend, who helps take care of people that are sick, he says, sometimes families are families of choice. people that you have gathered around you, and you know, those are your families. And sometimes there are people that have had their families you know, turn their backs on them, and those folks go out in the world and they connect with others, and they make a family. So you know, it's also thinking about, like, you know, friends that have departed and all that. A friend of mine on Facebook, was a heartbreaking story he conveyed the other day. He said that he had seen somebody working at a coffee shop every day, and popped in and asked, "Hey, where is you know, Sandra at today?" And somebody said that she'd passed away and she'd been in a car accident. So you know, it's kind of a sad thing, but it tells you where that every moment is a captured one. Every moment is something that doesn't guarantee a new one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, we've got just a few minutes left, and I wanted to hand that back to you, hit you the tennis ball, and cover a topic related to your writing. Who are your favorite authors? Don't say me, because I'd just be so flattered I'd fall over. But who are your favorite authors?
Well, as far as young adult, since I do write young adult fiction, I've got to say J.K. Rowling, definitely. Rick Riordan. Rochelle Mead, as far as, you know, the young adult genre. As far as more adult books that don't include charming authors, I'm a fan of Tammy Flagg, Dean Koontz. Could probably name others if I actually had more of my books in
I know, that's so
but
hard to say.
I have about half of my books in storage because I have no room in my place for the number of books that I actually own, the sheer number of books I actually own. There's no room for them. So I buy them, I read as many of them as I can, and I put them in storage after I'm done reading them. But
you're one of those amazing people that brings the knowledge to them and brings the stories to them. I love hearing about people that can't get enough of reading. It's amazing. That's what we're all here for and about. It's exciting. It's exciting to know that there's people like you out there. Do you think when you write a book, I was like, oh my God, I'm just going to throw this out into the ether and, you know, hope and pray that someone reads it, and hope and pray I get reviews. But you give us hope. You give us hope. You're like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of the book world. You're the only hope.
I absolutely love to sit down and read, and I really do wish that I could read more. Actually, when I sit down to read a book, between my ADHD and my insomnia, I could finish a 700-page book in about a day and a half.
Wow. That's impressive. That is really impressive. Hey, it's funny. I had an idea for a book about how people could upload software to their heads to cure things like ADHD, insomnia, and et cetera. That might be my next book.
That would be interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. If you go up to the Zarme and do search on my name and Tom Julian Upgraders, there's a short story I wrote that kind of covers that ground, which is pretty cool. So we have got about 4 minutes left, and so now is the time. If you'd like, I mean, we've talked a little bit about your book, but if you'd like to give a final plug-a-reno of your stories and your book, or anything you're doing, if you have any websites you want to talk to us about, or anything like that, or Twitter feeds or such, why don't you read them out?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook under Mystic High Books. So Twitter @Mystic High Books. Facebook, you can just search Mystic High Books or Tempest Saunders. And as for the book, Mystic Academy, it was originally called Mystic High, but Mystic Academy Awakens is a book about a girl discovering where her power really comes from. It's not even her parents. Her parents are mortal. Her family is mortal. But down to her core, her soul, she is a supernatural being. And it's discovering that power and discovering what she needs to do to help take care of her friends. And like you said, sometimes family is more than just blood, and her friends become her family. So it's like she discovers her power, she discovers a new family in the supernatural world, and what she's willing to do and risk to protect her new family as she goes along and as she grows into her power. So,
well, that sounds awesome. And what's the age range for the readership?
12 and up, I would say.
Okay. 12 and up it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dogs and cats, we've had a lot of fun here with Tempest Saunders, author of Mystic Rising. You can find her at all those places she said as well. You can find Zarme at facebook.com/TZP Radio Z is where you can find the Zarme Written Word Radio Show. You can check out the first chapters of all your favorite Zarme books by visiting firstreadsfirst.com. That's first, reads with a Z, first.com. Or, you know, as I said before, you can just go with it because all the Zarme books are usually pretty awesome. So I would say, you know, shoot first and then ask questions later. Shoot meaning buy and ask questions meaning read. It has been such a blast to talk to Tempest and spend an hour, which has just flown by, to get into our feelings about the Day of the Dead and to learn a little bit about the Day of the Dead, to explore that culture and really think about what that means to us as artists and as people and as those with loved ones. You know, it's great to create new families as you go along in life. And I can tell you, there's a lot of people I consider family that are not blood relatives, and a lot of people that I consider just to be so close to me that, you know, they might as well be family. Anyway, that's all I've got, and I'm about to shut down the show. Tempest, do you got any final words? Any last words before I hit this little orange X here that's next to your name?
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you again, Tom. And just remember, the Day of the Dead, it's a celebration of our ancestors. That doesn't necessarily just mean our blood ancestors. It could just mean the loved ones that are friends that we've lost. So just think about that.
That is a wonderful thing to say, and I couldn't agree more. And with that, I think I am going to click this red button here and end our episode right there, and I will talk to you guys next week. Please tune in to the Zarme Radio Show next Sunday night, 4 p.m. in Hollyweird and 7 p.m. on the East Wright Coast. We look forward to hearing from you and getting your calls. All right. Adios. Take care. Bye.
Bye.